Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 560, The Hunt.
A mild stone. Mild
stone. Red October, right? This is a rewind?
Yes, yes. The most dangerous game. That's what we saw. That's what we did.
I watched The Pest.
Why?
Have you not seen The Pest?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's a deep fried taco for you. I know that.
John Leguizamo.
Oh,
it's
okay.
About a rich guy that hunts
that's vaguely
people.
Coming back.
Oh, literally,
yeah. The great, yeah.
It's a parody kind of satire of that, but that's
Yeah, there's been a few movies like this over the years, so it's they're not breaking.
I feel like
ground.
We saw one not too. We should keep going.
So let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves. This is Joe.
This is Kevin,
and this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, where you can go rate, review, subscribe. We have a new review.
Oh,
this is from David O. Chooses.
Oh, that David O. Russell was listening.
I was like, oh man, I got excited there for a second.
No wonder it's so angry now.
It's a 5-star review that I don't entirely understand.
Okay.
It says return of the weekly podcast.
All right.
It's a 5-star
David,
review.
If you're listening.
So thank you, David, but we don't
send us a message because we don't know what you're talking about.
We've always been weekly.
Yeah.
Like I think we have a very solid track record.
Or maybe he's reviewing a different show and he thinks he's like someone's been on hiatus, so maybe just keep that there. Oh.
Yeah. And he, don't take it away.
Yeah.
And he did spell it with two E's, so he's not insulting us.
Oh, there we go.
Like it's getting weak.
You know what? You know what? And he might be talking about the movie podcast that talks about the best car spoilers in film.
What is that?
Oh, Real Spoilers.
Mind. Real Spoilers, yeah. Okay. Wheel Spoilers.
Wheel Spoilers? I don't think spoilers have wheels.
He just has a speech impediment is the problem.
Oh no.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, and I had one growing up. I can say that.
Oh, okay, good.
We had to go to a speech therapist and everything.
Oh, so I have a friend.
Yeah, right. I can say that. That's fine.
Yeah. So, but
let's get us some more 5-star reviews.
Yeah, totally. All the people with speech impediments will be all over us.
Good job, guys.
So what else? Oh, our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content and you help out and we like you a little extra.
Mm-hmm. This week we're talking about the best spoilers on wheels. I don't know if it's perfect.
Wheel spoilers.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want that?
Everybody.
So with all that behind us, The Hunt.
I did not expect to like this movie.
You liked this movie?
I did.
I also did not expect to like this movie, and I was not disappointed.
Oh, yeah.
I hated this movie.
I get it. I totally get it.
It was mildly entertaining. I mean, mildly, but it's not good.
It was well made. It's the writing. I hated the script. I hated everything
it did. It's a terrible script. It is terrible.
Yeah,
and
I get
it's
that.
So patting itself on the back for being edgy.
Yes,
and
it
it's
is.
Not
that is
edgy.
True.
And I hated the fact that like it tries to pretend like they're skewering both sides and they're not. I wish they would have just had the courage of their convictions and doubled down on what.
Yeah, that's true. They definitely when you get to the end and you get the reveal.
Yeah. I was just like,
yeah, I think.
Oh, yeah. Like that. The whole reasoning behind it is so ridiculous.
The reasoning isn't like the reasoning. Okay.
The justification of the reasoning for it at the end.
Yeah, that's like, ridiculous.
It's a shut up.
I think the whole movie is ridiculous on every single level.
Clearly, yeah.
But like, I got to tell you. I thought the gal that was the lead in this movie was hilarious.
Betty Gilpin. Yeah,
she was great.
Thought she was good. Yeah. She made some choices where I was like, I don't know what we're doing. I'm with it though.
I agree. Like I her facial expression.
That thing, the noises she made in that one scene.
I didn't get that because it never happened before or after.
No, that weird when she paused and then made noises. I'm like, what?
The scene when she kicks the guy out. When she's the embassy guy shows up and she just kind of like realizes what's going on and she just kind of slowly kicks, like brings her legs up to her chest, like the look on her face
and
she just
car.
Swings her butt around in the chair and just punches, like kicks the guy. She was the MVP of this
movie.
She
was cool.
She was very funny.
Die Hard and put her in it as the female reboot.
I'd be
like,
right with
you know
that.
What I mean?
Yeah,
that's what it kind of reminded me. Now I know they explain her training and why she's kick ass, which is good. 'Cause I'm like, how is she doing all that? Like, you know what I mean? I needed an explanation.
I thought we were going to get a Your Next scenario where she's like, I was a survivalist. Like, I grew up on a survivalist camp.
Gotcha.
Remember in Your Next where the gal was like,
yeah,
guy
but
I thought she was going to have purposely infiltrated it.
Oh.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah. Because on that text thread you see at the beginning, there's a shot of a turtle.
Yeah.
Like humping a guy's shoe.
Yeah.
And her story about
And her story was about a turtle.
Oh.
And so I thought it was going to be she.
I could see that.
She got looped it on this text chain by accident.
Right.
And was like, I'm going to go take these people.
I'm going to take them out.
Yeah. When we get there, I do really like all the explanations surrounding her. That was my. I think most people, all they're saying is like, this movie is lame, but Betty Gilpin,
she's
like,
great.
It works, but the rest of it. And let's talk about stunt casting. I thought this movie was about Ike Barinholtz and Emma Roberts. Like, I didn't watch the trailers. I saw a couple stills with them in it, and that was the only time they were in the movie.
There are so many like recognizable faces.
The whole beginning people.
Any face that you recognize is going to be in the movie for 5 minutes.
Yes. Yep. Yeah,
which was lame. Like
it was
like,
a shame.
Like,
I thought it was going to be funny because Ike Barinholtz, I like him, and we're going to be following him doing all this stuff.
And no, well, we followed him for a little bit,
and I like that the whole idea of like, oh, we're going to pull the rug out from under you, but when they do it for like the fourth time,
right?
And I'm just like, oh, this is
what we're doing.
This is just the thing we're doing.
I thought the gal in the pit was one of my favorite parts of the movie. Like when the gal falls in the pit,
the weird thing is that like it walks this line where it's a satire, and then sometimes it's really goofy and satirical, mm-hmm. and then sometimes it really gets too serious. Like tonally, it's a very awkward movie.
Yeah,
I want it to either be straight satire or be smart and cleverly written. Or, you know, decide what you're going to do. But, like, that is so tonally inconsistent with
that
the rest
whole
of the
scene,
movie.
I agree.
Right?
You're
the
right.
pit? Because
no,
it's
totally.
Funny in a different movie, but then it's like they don't really double down that much in other times. And so it feels more awkward.
It's funny. Like, the first time we see it, I think it's very funny.
Yeah.
And then the second time, I was like, if we do the same gag again, that's funny. But then it doesn't.
Right.
It's a different gag. And it's not even a gag. Like, it's something completely different.
But the fact that she lands back on the spike, that is funny. That's what makes it funny because you're like, oh my God, I'm back on the spike again.
With
you know?
Half my body gone.
But yeah, anyway. So that starts off with this text.
Yeah,
you
so you basically got just a bunch of people messaging back and forth. And they talk about hunting deplorables at the manor. And then people are just like, oh, no, we don't talk about that. Yeah. I'm deleting.
Yeah.
And then we flash forward.
Should we just spoil what that is now at this point?
Yeah,
I think it's
all a joke.
It started off as a joke.
Yeah, so that's the whole premise for this movie.
Right.
This is a bunch of rich CEOs,
liberals,
executives.
That's the kicker. This is a conservative writer. The guy that wrote this is a conservative. And he, I would say 9.5 times out of 10, we get this movie, it's flipped. It's the conservatives hunting the... It's the
liberals.
It's the purge,
like a politically motivated purge.
Yeah. I mean, that last Purge movie was basically this movie just flipped, right?
Yeah.
Like,
but
it's,
aren't the people hunting the main characters conservatives?
No, they're liberals.
In this movie,
yeah.
In the purge,
the Purge, it's flipped.
Yeah, I only saw the first Purge movie.
Oh, okay. So the last,
that's the rich elites trying to hunt the
last Purge movie is like the first time we're going to try this out, and they went to lower income neighborhoods. To hunt those
I think
people.
I saw maybe we did a review. I saw
we
like
did
maybe
we
the,
did the first Purge,
And then I think we did the one that was like the fourth one or something. The newest
there was the prequel or whatever. There was the one that was basically the Punisher.
That was the one with Frank Grillo.
Yeah.
Where he's protecting the gal that's going to run for president.
I saw that. Yeah. He was a bodyguard.
Well, it didn't start off that way.
Yeah.
So that's the second movie. The third Purge, he's her Secret Service agent.
That's what I've seen.
In the fourth one, it's like the prequel. It's the first Purge. And we covered that one, too.
Did we? Okay, I just don't remember those.
The first Purge was great.
First Purge is great.
The rest of them have been. Yeah.
Whatever.
So, So explain the premise. So this ended up being this.
The liberal elite, the far left, are in this text thread. Basically, what happens is the Hilary Swank, who's the big stunt casting of this movie.
She's in it a lot more than
I guess that I
others,
but
Emma
they
Roberts.
Like
they hide her face. And,
yeah, they hide her, and the way they reveal her, where we're supposed to
like
be like
spin around, like oh my god!
Did you
Hillary
not know Hillary? Okay,
she's in the trailer.
First of all, they don't show her until the last 15 minutes of the movie. You know she's in the movie, so yeah, that reveal is stupid.
Yeah,
well, they didn't know she was in the movie.
Yeah, they reveal her in the trailer,
but still, I was just and my reaction was like, is that Hillary Swank? Oh.
But like the movie poster is like Ike Barinholtz, Emma Roberts, Hilary Swank. Yeah. So if you've seen
the stunt cats, if you want to do this right, get Sharon Stone, or you know, like maybe some Hilary Swank is one of those actresses. As much as she's a fantastic actress, she's done some amazing things. Buffy the Vampire Slayer to be one of them. No, I'm just kidding. But
Million Dollar Baby is
that's
the
thing.
That
yeah, Million Dollar Baby for
Boys
sure.
Don't Cry.
Boys Don't Cry. Mm.
The next Karate Kid.
She was the Karate Kid
on the level of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But no, she is
the next Karate Kid.
She's
right.
Great actress.
She's done great work.
And it's just, I guess when they're just like, we have Hilary Swank.
Yeah.
In 2020 is like, okay.
But it does, that aside, again, the reveal is stupid because most people are going to know going to this movie. She's on the poster and in the trailers. So when you do a back of the head reveal, you're just like, she hasn't been in it yet.
Right.
And it's stupid.
Yeah. It's very stupid.
You either don't advertise it and you reveal her.
Right.
Or you just do it. So, yeah.
And I don't know why you advertise her because it's like, if the whole thing is you want to have the reveal, does Hilary Swank really sell a lot of tickets?
Not that I know of.
No. Yeah. So they're all.
And also, it looked like, I'm like, oh, she wasn't available for filming that day. Because we know she's in it, I'm like, oh, it's her dubbing it. And,
right.
You know, and then when they turn, I'm like, oh, it was a reveal? Oh.
I guess.
Okay. Anyway.
So they're all part of like, she's the head of this corporation. One guy is like in charge of like this massive non-for-profit.
Yeah.
So basically they're all of these liberal. This is a it's a subvertly political movie. So when I say, you know, like whatever.
It's subvertly or overtly?
Overtly. I guess it's overtly. Yeah.
So the issue I have is that it's like they're trying to trade in these political stereotypes.
Yeah.
But the kind of core of them seems incorrect in that, like, oh, it's all these liberal CEOs. I don't normally associate.
Are there a lot of them?
I don't normally associate like the people running corporations as being super liberal.
Most all CEOs
and then they decide to get guns and hunt people.
Yeah. That usually isn't the first reaction a liberal.
Sue somebody.
Which is not what, you know, they'll out somebody or shame them or boycott,
but we don't turn this into a hunting game.
So like the whole, it all hinges around stereotypes that like it's trying to trade in stereotypes, but then it has to rely on them not existing or subverting them. Like
I don't mind this concept. Like if they would have just doubled down on the goof and her, you know, kind of like You're Next, where all of a sudden she's your main character, Aaron, in that movie is just like beating the crap out of everybody and winning. Like if you would have, and the gore, like if you would have done the gore and everything, like,
I mean,
it's a different movie.
This is called The Hunger Games or what's the one?
Battle Royale.
I mean, yeah, this concept of people running around and having to defend themselves. They don't know why they're being hunted, but they get a bunch of guns. And then the people who you think are just fodder are going to actually end up winning or killing the elite people that are putting it on or whatever.
Right.
Like that concept, which this is not original because that's been done over and over. But like that can be fun. We've seen it happen.
Yeah.
But twisted around this weird politics.
Yeah. I don't even mind this movie being like the same thing, like exactly what you're saying. And then she becomes the hunter. Mm-hmm. Like, if we're going to do that and she's playing this, like, she's doing the same character choices that she's making.
Yeah.
I think this is a really fun movie.
Yeah, it could be really fun.
But I do agree that, like,
it hinges on the reveal.
It does.
And the reveal makes no sense.
I don't mind the reveal of her.
No, I love her reveal.
Yeah.
Anything revolving around the Betty Gilpin character, as silly or as weird as some of the choices are, but at least they're interesting. Like, her stuff is good, but I'm talking about the Hillary Swank reveal. So the text thread we see in the beginning is one of, like, the final things that is the reveal.
Right.
You find out that it's all these executives, and the reason that this got out was because one of the guys had an affair, was cheating on his wife, and then that text thread in the cheating scandal got leaked.
Yeah.
And in that thread they're joking, and you believe, like, Hillary Swank is like, it was a joke. They really were like, oh, we're gonna go round up and hunt deplorables, it's an inside joke. And yeah. Then because it got leaked and she got fired or
I got picked up by, like, conspiracy,
like an Alex Jones, like, right. Ethan Suple plays like an Alex yeah. Jones, who, by the way,
this must have been filmed a couple years ago.
That
he's
dude
jacked
is
now.
Jacked yeah. Have you seen him recently?
Yeah,
holy,
that's why I'm like,
guacamole.
I mean, he's not in terrible shape or anything, but, like, he's not jacked in this
look
movie.
At,
so
look
I'm
at
like,
Ethan Suple in
The Butterfly Effect.
Yes.
He can't hardly move.
He's
big. On a bed sitting with a blanket over him most
yeah,
of the movie.
He's so big.
I watched it last night, coincidentally.
Did you really?
It's a good. I hadn't yeah. seen it in a while, but I'm like,
which
oh
ending
my
did
gosh.
You get? There's like four endings.
It's a very unhappy ending where Amy Smart is, he saves everybody, but he's like, no one knows him.
Oh, so you didn't get the one where he chokes himself in the womb with his umbilical cord?
I didn't get that one.
Yeah,
this
that's,
was
a
like
real,
the,
that's a real ending
the
to a movie.
I think this is the theatrical. Yeah.
He kills him. Kills himself
yeah.
in childbirth.
Yeah.
Spoilers for Butterfly Effect
yeah.
in 2001. I've
said it before. I love anything involving time travel and affecting things in the past,
yeah.
like changing the future. So I Peggy love...
Peggy Sue Got Married.
What's that?
Oh.
I didn't see that.
Like, do they... That is a time travel movie.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen that one.
It's Nicolas Cage and Kathleen Turner.
I say pretty good, but it's
directed by Francis Ford Coppola.
I'll watch it if it involves time travel. You know?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'll watch Project Almanac. I don't care. I mean, I haven't since we reviewed it, but you know, I was like, oh, time travel.
So the point of
this is that she's like, yeah, so you made it true since you got me fired, essentially, and all of us got screwed over because you said we were hunting people. We're going to hunt people.
Yeah. Right, that's a little ridiculous.
Like,
yeah.
You're rich, and it doesn't matter if you have your job or whatever. Like,
if you lost your job, but you had enough money to do all this, why are you that worried about having lost
your
job?
To me, you say, "Yeah, it was real." Like, yes, the entire time. Of course, I said it was a joke, but no, it's not a joke. Like, of course, we do this. Like, we're the rich elite. Of course, we run out of things to do, so we do this.
As a joke? Again,
no. Like, I would say. In my movie,
yeah,
it's not a joke.
Right. That's
it
the
is,
weird thing.
It
is
real.
In this movie, they make it seem like, or you're at least supposed to think like, oh, this thing they're talking about is like the Purge. It's a tradition and it
yeah,
goes on.
Yeah.
And you think it until
ready
the
or,
end.
It's like Ready or Not.
Yeah. And the reveal is that, no, we did this because you willed it. And I love how the thing again with Betty
Gilpin,
she's like, no, you are doing it. So it is real.
Yeah. She's like, so you have this manor, right? And she's like, yeah, but I rented it. She's like, yeah, but you're renting it. And
yeah.
you are hunting.
That's the
people.
Ongoing joke. It's not a manor.
Yeah, it's a three bedroom, whatever. But then she does rent a manor in Bolivia, or
Croatia.
Yeah. So all of our characters wake up, and we actually focus on Emma. Well, first we're on a plane, and we get the guy from It's Always Sunny.
I didn't know who that was.
That's the guy. That's the main one of the main guys from Always Sunny.
I don't watch it, so I don't.
It's very funny.
Yeah,
that guy needs to be Booster Gold.
I would say
I originally said Nick Kroll and John Mulaney as Booster Gold and Blue Beetle and make that like a comedy buddy movie.
Yeah.
But then a friend of mine
I haven't
like,
seen enough of Always Sunny, but I always think of like Charlie Day, Danny DeVito, the blonde guy from Westworld, you know.
Blonde guy from Westworld.
Yeah. The guy that plays William.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, he's an Always Sunny guy. It's weird to see him more serious.
Oh,
than
yeah,
Westworld,
yeah, yeah.
But I can't think of this guy for some reason because I just haven't seen it enough.
Yeah, he's in this as well.
Okay.
So they wake up he's on a plane. And he's kind of, you think he is being a dick to the stewardess where he's, you know, he like, do you have any caviar? Do you have any, like, basically he's asking for all this Mediterranean vegetable steamed stuff. And she's like, I got caviar and this. And he was like, you ever had caviar? And she's like, no.
He's playing a really good D-bag. I mean, to this guy's credit.
He has
like,
moments
he
where you think he's not a D-bag, but then he actually, you know. So all of a sudden, while they're talking, this dude comes like storming out and he's all groggy. And they're like, ah, he's awake. So this other guy jumps up And he's like, you know, Roger, whatever, you're okay. Like, I'm a doctor. Let's lay you down. And then stabs him. And this is, I was like, I'm in. Like, when he stabs him in the eye and then the eyeball comes off on the pen. Yeah. And I was like, if we're doing this kind of movie,
right,
let's do this.
There's no problem with the gore, with the crazy kills and stuff. Like, that's all fine. Like, that part of the movie, I mean, if that's what you're looking for, you know, it's right. Blumhouse. It's, I don't know if you'd say horror, but gore, you know, it's that kind
yeah,
of a,
yeah.
You know,
I would like, not call this a horror movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not in that genre, but it's the Blumhouse thing, you know, yeah. where they're going to lean into the gore and all that, and that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we wake up with Emma Roberts, who I didn't recognize right away because she's got like a bar gag in her mouth. Yeah. And we see Betty Gilpin, like, she kind of wakes up and she's disoriented. Of course, we're looking through her eyes, so we don't know what's going on. We see Betty Gilpin, like, off in the distance. Like, crouched down, she's taken off her name tag, and she's like figuring, you know, she's MacGyvering some stuff. And I was like, well, if you have a pointy stuff on your name tag, why don't you just pick the lock if you can do that? Apparently, you know, survival skills. Yeah. So, you know,
I don't think it's that easy to pick a lock, and especially behind your head.
I mean, I feel like when we learn about this character and what she's able to do, I feel like she could pick a lock behind her head.
Well, she can, apparently, know, based on this movie.
But she takes she cuts a piece of her, like a strand of hair, and she puts it on a leaf in this water, and it turns a certain way. I was like, well, she's got skills.
Yeah.
And they're multiplying.
Would you say a special set of skills?
I would say she has special skills.
Would you say that maybe she's the trope conservative men complain about the most?
I think she's exactly that. And I don't think she's a conservative.
No, she's not.
Yeah, like that's the gag, right?
That's I think what they think is their saving grace.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Is that this whole time she's been neither.
You think Exactly. She's an independent.
Or that she's just not caught up in any of that, and that while
she kind of says as much.
While the two sides are sniping at each other, there's this whole other group of people that are just like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the story they're trying to tell, but they tell it so poorly, and I don't think they believe it. I think, like, because the movie lets you think conservatives good, liberals bad.
Yeah.
For 85% of the movie.
Yep.
And then in the last 15 minutes, they pull the rug out from under you, and like, but it's like, but they don't, and I don't think their heart is in it. I feel like it's just a way for them to tell this other story. Like, it never felt like they really.
I think I would have had a little bit more respect for this movie. And don't get me wrong, I did enjoy it. Like, I had fun at it. If they would have doubled down and just stuck with her as a conservative. Like, if we're saying that the liberals are hunting the conservatives, at least you're sticking to your brand.
Yes, I concur. I would have rather this movie been that
right
than the watered down BS we got.
Right.
Yeah.
So, all of a sudden, all of these different people sort of
everybody you recognize is killed in the first five minutes.
They converge on this box. The one guy goes to open it, and there was like, no, it's a trap. But like this little pig walks out, and then here comes this.
That's an Animal Farm reference.
Yeah,
it's all George Orwell's Animal Farm.
Yeah, that thing I could do without. Like, I was like, that.
They thought they had something with that pig.
Oh,
it's
on
posters, and I'm just
that's
like,
what I'm saying.
And I'm
like
that was
there...
when we get to the end. I'm like, that's the payoff.
That's the payoff.
Just because of Animal Farm, they put a pig in there.
Yeah,
be clever.
Right. So they pull out this base, just like Hunger Games, this cache of weapons. So they all grab weapons except for Emma Roberts. Who I was like, okay, so she's the smart one, right? She sees the key on the one thing and she unlocks it, and all of it, this is when all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, one of the guys who you think is like, I recognize him from something, but
is that This Is Us guy?
The pretty guy?
Blonde?
Yeah, that's, he's on This Is Us.
Okay, there we go.
So I'm, he's like, a big deal.
I'm, I like, mean, clearly this guy is the main character. You know,
right.
I'm like, you know, he's in good shape. He's a pretty boy. I'm like, oh, he's our main character. Like, you
he's
know,
the army vet or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, Emma Roberts gets her brains blown out, like, all over the place. Yeah. And they don't shy away from any gore. Like, that's front and
but
center.
But it's like, boom, Emma Roberts shot in the head. Okay.
Yeah.
That didn't last long.
Right.
Then the pretty guy runs across the spike lady, does that whole thing.
Yeah. Honestly, he's probably the biggest star in this movie right now.
That's hard to disagree with that.
Because This Is Us is, I mean, that is
a massive show.
It's a massive, massive
show. He sees the gal in the. In the pit, like, she runs past and, like, she runs out of the box and just falls into the pit, and you're just like, oh, she fell into a pit. And they come up on her, and she's got like spikes through her, and he was like, oh,
pulls
no.
her out of it.
He pulls her out of it, and she's okay. I was like, that's not a thing. You
but
would
then
not be
he
okay.
gets shot.
No, he steps on a landmine.
Yeah,
oh,
she wasn't yeah. gushing blood.
Right,
like,
right.
I mean, yeah.
Steps on a landmine, of course. He gets blown to smithereens. She gets blown to smithereens. Well, she gets blown in half.
And then
and goes
top
back,
half is back.
Back into the thing. And this is where we see Ike Burkholz.
Yeah.
And he's like, come on, let me get you out of there. And I was like, what? Why?
She's like, shoot me.
This is the part where I was like, well, this is a little mutt. Like, I'm okay, fine. Like, you want to die, but she's like, shoot me. And she
well, yeah,
pulls
take
her out
of her
gun,
misery.
Right?
Like, I mean, at this point, I'm glad that they didn't double down. Oh, you're going to be fine with your half your body. And
yeah, right,
out.
Right.
So yeah, she's like, oh, give it to me, you. Did
yes,
she say snowflake or something?
She does call him a snowflake.
Yeah, give me that. And she shoots herself and he's right. like, ah.
yeah. So he takes off. And yeah. So our characters are getting picked off. Like these characters are getting picked yeah. off quickly. We're down to like
so
five
like four
left.
Or something that and make it at a barbed wire fence.
And I do like that Betty Gilpin is just kind of like kicked back. Not kicked back, but just waiting. She's not really doing anything. She's just waiting.
She's obviously has this survivalist training. We don't right. know what it is. It ends up being military. But, you know, she's like assessing the situation. You know,
right,
not
right.
being very careful about it.
So she, yeah, our Ike Burkholz and like three other characters, yeah. the guy from Florida and the other gal.
Yeah, cannon fodder. Just, yeah, you see that there's people of all different demographics, different locations, you know,
right.
which comes into play later. We find out they're picking from all over and they're trying to be like, I don't know, if, what's the not politically correct? They're trying to be diverse in their selection of people they hunt.
See, like when they get yeah. to the, like if we don't have one African-American yeah. person in this group.
Like there's a diversity quota on hunting people.
Right, right, right. So they get to this barbed wire fence and everybody's like, this is it. This is Manor Gate. We told you this was real. We told blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So they use their shirts and one guy gets taken out by a bunch of arrows. Our other three characters jump the fence and they get to a gas station.
Yeah, mom, pop. Store.
Right, and you, I recognize both of these. I don't know.
Do
yeah, yeah. Like I'm sure I've seen them.
I didn't know who. They
yeah,
were.
The lady
I
looked kind of familiar,
them.
But yeah,
yeah. So yeah, so they, this is like they.
This is, I think, the only truly clever moment in the movie.
I agree.
Is when
I think Betty Gilpin's reveal is clever, and I think this is clever.
When well, and I might be getting ahead of us, but when Betty Gilpin realizes,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
realizes that they're not in Arkansas based on the tax rate of
yeah,
the cigarettes.
I love that.
Right. And
like,
I was
that
like,
was clever.
I was like, that is clever.
Yeah,
and like that's a sort of like conservative,
true.
Like joke talking point kind of thing. Where I was like, that's clever.
yeah, right.
Like
right,
you
right.
know,
it's very clever.
Yeah,
yeah, that was good. But this, first of all, it's Ike Barinholtz and the other two randos.
Yeah,
and the gas station, and come to find out, everything is rigged. These two old sweet mom pop
right.
people are in on this.
I think their go between after they kill everybody was
yeah.
very funny.
Yeah. You poison the soda? No, like, it already is poison. All that sugar.
He's like, oh, for crying yeah. out loud. But I do like even when he. What does he say? He's like, did he say those people?
Which is a total conservative, like
yeah.
sodas, you know, the liberals are going to make you not drink soda.
Right, right,
it's
right, right.
Like, it's all very.
But I think
charged.
I think the husband says those people
and
the
like,
wife like
and he's sticking up for them. Like
right.
he's not. He's like saying like, oh, those people have had a really hard time.
Yeah. And the wife's like what
those,
do you mean those
yeah.
people? And he was like, ugh, white people. We're the worst.
Ugh.
And then this is where Betty Gilpin walks in and she's looking around and. Like they had to clean up the entire mess because
yeah.
it's a mess. In
and
there.
So one of the lady dies from poison donuts, and then
the
other one
gets smoked by a grenade, by a gas grenade.
Yeah, and then
Ike
takes
shot.
A shotgun in the stomach. And when that happened, I'm like, oh, he can't be dead. Like I seriously was like, well, no, this movie Ike
yeah.
Barinholtz is the star of this movie.
Nope.
Like I knew the other ones. I'm like, okay, they were head fakes, but I'm like, Ike Barinholtz is the star.
Right. I thought that's what we were doing
I thought
this
too. Movie
was
Ike Barinholtz.
And it's like, and it didn't ingratiate the film to me. It made me mad.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, because I'm like, we're just gonna keep doing this over and
yeah.
over
right.
again.
At this
that's
point,
not...
it wasn't clever. Like,
yeah.
oh, you think who, you know? No
yeah.
One's safe.
When they killed the guy from This Is Us, and I was like, oh, that's
okay.
a shame. I was
yeah.
like, I like that show. I
yeah.
like that guy. And I was like, this, you know, like. I was like, oh, he's going to yeah. be the guy in the movie for like, okay, that this could be good. And
then he gets blown up.
And then I was like, oh, but Ike Barinholtz, I loved The Mindy Project. I loved a movie that he wrote and directed called The Oath, which
uh-huh.
I've talked about
very
before.
Good. Whenever
which
anyone's
I think is
like,
great.
I don't like Tiffany Haddish, I'm like, watch The Oath.
And,
yeah.
like,
the best thing
and
she's
that's
done.
A very political movie that I think, while it does lean left, does also skewer both sides.
I think so.
And,
but it's good. It's well written.
But it's so good.
Right?
So good. And, but, But like, so I was just like, oh, it would make sense he'd be in a movie like this. Now I got a little bit of faith in the movie, the direction they're headed.
He's so funny and good. You think, yeah. Like, oh, he can carry this movie. Like, right. If he's going to be, if you're going to be reacting off him being like, what am I doing in this situation? People dying around him. You're right. Like, I'm in. He's funny.
Right. And so, then it's like, yeah, he's oh, like, no,
I own 8 guns and it's my right. And yeah. She was like, well, isn't it their right to hunt you? And he was like, what?
No.
Which is,
yeah,
which is also like a, like, and that's where the movie, like, mm-hmm. really loses me. Like, if you're gonna try and skewer both sides, then you have to put, like, arguments that are, like, reasonable in the mouths of both sides. And, right. like, that's not a reasonable
argument.
But I
didn't understand it. Were we supposed to think that liberals are stupid for making that argument, though? Because that argument was dumb. If they thought they were smart by doing that, then that makes it even worse. Like,
yeah,
I thought they're making fun of them for saying, like, justifying it in a stupid way.
Right. Like I don't know. I don't know what they were trying to do.
I had to take it like that, because who on earth would go, yes, because you have guns and you're killing them in self-defense, then they have the rights to have guns and hunt you down. Like, that was the dumbest argument I've
had. But yeah, so she shows up, and this is what Tom was talking about, where she's like, where am I? And she was like,
not for her.
Yeah.
Once Ike Barinholtz goes, if it were not for giving us this character,
yes,
the movie would be completely irredeemable.
Yeah, like, as much as I hated this movie, she was really good.
Yeah. So she's like, you know, she asked for a pack of cigarettes, and this is what,
where,
like,
am I?
Where am I? Arkansas.
I love this. No, where am I?
What
excuse
do you mean you don't
me?
Know where you are?
No, excuse me? And she's like, did you not understand my question? I love that she does that.
She's immediately suspicious.
Yeah.
Immediately.
And he's like, oh, no, just most people know where they are. And the lady's smiling at her, and she's like, oh, these
very much like The Visit.
Yeah.
You know? So she's like, you know, she says that they're in Arkansas, and she's asked for a pack of cigarettes, and she's, you know, gives it to her. She gives her the change back. And she shoots the woman in the face, like, shoots her in the chest.
Yeah.
And she was like, ah, this is one of those weird facial expressions that she does where she's like, a pack of cigarettes costs X amount of dollars in Arkansas. And then she kills the old man as well. She goes outside and she's trying to figure this out. She goes to the truck that's got an Arkansas license plate, and she notices that it's hanging a little low. Mm. So she pulls the whole thing off, and it's got like a Russian or European license plate on it.
Ethan Suplee is wandering around, and there's a drone because they can't contact the old people.
Right.
And he ends up shooting it down.
Yeah.
And when she calls Moore, she's like, you just gave away our position.
She's like, no, they can't watch us now. She's like, yeah, but they know where that drone went down.
Yeah.
And he was like, but, and Ethan Suplee is playing like an Alex Jones style character.
Yeah.
So then they're running, and they're running away, and they jump onto a train, and on the train, I wasn't sure what kind of character he was supposed to be until this scene.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was like, oh, okay, this is what we're doing with this character.
We don't know if Ethan Suplee, like, what his deal is, but as soon as
he says crisis actors, I'm like, well, that's who we're gonna, okay.
And then the movie lets you think they're a crisis actor. They let you think he's right for a long time. And I'm like, and again, I think they think that's them being clever and shocking us, or like, instead,
I feel like there
are
certain...
But he was right. They doubled like...
One of them was a crisis actor.
Right, but he still knew... I mean, he was right and wrong. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't wrong
because...
Here's
my issue with that.
Okay.
Is I feel like there are certain things that you could probably get away with in this style of movie that leans on the conservative side that are fine. You know, there's crazy people on both sides of the aisle. Let's not dispute that.
Yeah.
But I feel like the idea of a crisis actor... is not okay. Like, what we have gone through recently with Alex Jones getting sued because he said that people at Sandy Hook, like, I feel like that conspiracy theory is a bridge too far.
The situations are very different, though. Like, in this case, he's just saying, I mean, I get that it triggers those other memories and thoughts of the worst stuff, but like, here he's basically just saying, because they're in this scenario,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, because of the scenario, it's like, okay, I get why he might think that these people are part of the game.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, if you want to double down on the immigration thing, okay. Like, that's fine, because that is a thing that both sides of the aisle are fighting about. Yeah. I get that. But I do, in my opinion, the crisis, calling them all crisis actors was a bridge too far.
But you're taking outside influence to it. Like, movie isn't going to those places, so you're only bringing that outside influence in. Like, I don't think this movie treated that poor, you know what I mean? I don't think they treated that situation in bad taste, but because you're bringing that word in from other situations.
Right.
It, like,
I feel like using that as a trope is a little...
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying.
What's the word?
Insensitive.
Irresponsible and insensitive, yeah. So they, you know, this is where one of the other guys is like, yeah, dude, yeah, Dave, you're right. Or Randy.
Yeah.
You are, but if you shut up.
There's the Croatian military there, and whenever they turn their backs, he starts talking in perfect English, but when they're looking at him, he acts
that
like.
That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But as soon as he turns around, he like talks to him. And,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as soon as we get out of here, I'm going to give you even a head start. But for now, we need to like.
So they kind of, there's a fight that ensues and everybody kind of breaks apart and Betty Gilpin gets locked up, but Randy, the Ethan Suplee character, you can see him running, like jumps through the train and is running away. So she sits down with
is his character? Is it Randy? That was Gary.
Maybe it is Gary.
Randy was his character on My Name Is Earl.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, you're right. So she sits. She ends up getting captured and sitting there with two detectives or two
whatever
whoever they
are,
government agents.
Yeah.
And she's like, where am I?" And they're like, "Where do you think you are?" And she's like, "Well, we're definitely not in Arkansas." And she, like, this is where we get an idea of what she's capable of, where she's breaking down their accents and the license plates.
How long the flight was.
How long the flight was, things like that. And she's like, "Am I in Russia?" And they're like, "No, no, no." And then so finally she says, she's like, "I'm in Croatia."
Yeah, Bosnia, no.
Right. And she's like, and she tells the whole story, and she doesn't lie. She's like, "I'm being hunted by these people," and they're like, "Oh, like Dan?
Oh, you're being hunted, yeah."
And they're like who? Yeah. And they're like whatever his name is, Dan.
And he comes in and starts saying, "I told
you." Who is that guy?
I don't know.
Was that guy on like a sitcom?
Which one?
The old guy,
the airborne guy, the guy that's like basically her partner
guy.
The entire time.
Oh.
He's the other lead character. It's so weird because I'm thinking we're getting Ike Barinholtz.
I was thinking like Cheers or...
No, he definitely wasn't on Cheers. Yeah. He does kind of look like a little bit like John Ratzenberger as he's aged, but it's for sure not him.
Okay. I feel like maybe it was a cop show.
Anyway, so he's basically like, "Yeah, see?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'm being hunted just like
right.
Dan."
Just like Dan.
And so they end up calling in a supposed American embassy.
Who, have you ever seen the movie Blue Ruin?
No, I don't think so.
Holy guacamole.
What kind of movie is it?
So it's kind of, it's a revenge movie.
Okay.
It's a very, this embassy guy is the main character.
Okay.
But it's nuts and it's really good.
Okay. I'll check that out.
I think that's what it's called. Blue.
But
Blue.
He's like questioning them because he really wants to
How
find...
much do they know? Like, what do you think's going on?
Yeah.
What
and he's also like, "Well, what did you do?" And she's like, "So you think we're the aggressors here?" And he's like, "No, but they must be doing this for a reason."
Right.
And so then it hints at that this guy.
This is that hilarious where she's just like, mm-hmm.
She grabs the oh crap bar.
Yeah, right.
Spins her body 90 degrees.
And kicks him in the face and like kicks him out of the car. And of course, Dan in the back is like, "What's going on?"
Yeah.
She jumps in the car and runs over his head. And she goes to the back and she opens the trunk and there's Gary with a knife in his head. And this is, I thought this was a great scene for her where she tells the story of the jackrabbit and the turtle.
Yeah. I've never heard that. I've never heard the story of the jackrabbit and the box turtle.
Really?
I thought it was the tortoise and the hare.
They're telling tortoise and hare story like we've never heard it.
Right,
before.
It's like, this is the tortoise and the hare.
Yeah,
and they're
trying
to put a clever twist on it.
But it's like if they're gonna, but then like, and it's got a different ending, obviously. But then,
a little bit.
But then get to it faster.
And why does the jackrabbit always win? It ended up like because he
basically came and killed the tortoise.
Yeah, the box turtle won, but then the rabbit came and won. And
they're basically telling like a big government story. Like that's kind of what it is. It's like once the little man thinks they're ahead, then the jackrabbit will always show back up and smash them.
Yeah,
you know, you'll never win is basically the moral of that story.
The rat stands for obviousness.
I know. So then why are you fighting it at all?
I think they even ask her that.
Well, they say, "Are you? Which one are you?
Which one are you?"
And she's kind of, which is why I thought that she was going to have been involved on that thread,
sure,
and that she was kind of sending that message from the get go,
right?
But
that didn't happen.
I do love the reveal though of her though.
Her reveal's great.
I mean, I love that concept of them just screwing up. And her,
I love like her character was the anytime, like, and she's on screen a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, but
yeah.
When she gets to do stuff and say, like, I just loved her delivery of lines.
No,
like,
ma'am.
She's like, oh, you done messed up.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. But anyway, so she takes his gun, and then, what she's kind of like still sussing out Dan's situation.
Right.
And he's like, but we could have questioned him. Like, he's very apprehensive about
when we get
her
to the,
killing.
The redo of the question.
Yeah.
That
was funny.
I will say I like that. Like,
yeah.
Dan, do you have anything to ask her?
Do you have any
questions? That was good.
He's like, what? He's like, last time you had questions before I killed somebody.
The very breaking it down, the obvious. Like, I mean, again, anything with her,
she's great.
I think she made this. It's with some of her choices that are weird, but her delivery, like, she took.
I think the weird choices make it better.
It's interesting. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, at least it's something where you're like, what are we doing?
And it's
here?
Don, not Dan.
Don, okay.
Because the way she says it, it sounds like Dawn.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
right.
So
yeah,
when
right,
she
right.
first said Dawn, I was like, oh,
oh
no.
Yeah.
Not a whole movie with a Dawn in it.
So, this is where they go. Who do they? They get somebody, and then they figure out that they're. Where do they get to the hut? Or do they find. Oh, they find the pig. That's right. The pig walks out from a trail, and they follow that trail back to. Basically, like we're reintroduced to all of these characters that were on the plane and they're hunting. You know, there's a military guy there, which I thought those lines were very conservative and taking some shots at the military that were like that he doesn't do as much.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Like,
they also set him up. I mean,
they set him up to be a badass and then
he can't do anything. And then it's like, what are you serving? Oh, I'm in the reserve.
I'm in the National Guard.
Oh yeah. And she's like, thank you for your service.
Yeah. Right. Right. So I was like, all right, that's pretty funny. So they set him up. Like, all of these characters are, kind of in this bunker and they can't find anybody. They're just kind of told to stay put. And
this is probably my favorite scene.
This
of the
is a
movie.
Great scene.
And
where
I don't
she
even
just
think it's
nuts.
Like, yeah, I don't even think it's done. It's not executed as well as it could have been. But in this movie, this is the most exciting part. It's her being a badass.
It's this
them
one
all
in the final scene, I think, are both really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Don drops the pig into this little bunker and they kill it. And of course, the
poor pig. One, that's the most upsetting part about the movie. Poor little thing.
Didn't kill a real pig, Kevin.
I know, but that's movies still can make you feel. You know, these are all movies we see.
Yeah. Schindler's, some of those older ones.
Schindler's List didn't actually kill people, but I was still sad.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair. And of course, the gal's like, it had feelings and it was this. And they're just like, oh, God. All right. This is what you get for. You killed Orville.
Yeah.
Why did you name it? And then she jumps in and just starts taking him out, like takes everybody. She kills the guy from Always Sunny outside. Like, she slits his throat and basically cuts his head off.
And I'm glad there's an explanation for this. I mean, she was badass, but this is the point where I question. I'm like, wait a minute,
why are you able to do this?
And I'm like, there's a military expert here, and we later find out he's just not really that
right,
and you know, not that good. But I'm like, why is she able to go toe to toe with this like sergeant or whatever they call him? Like, he's supposed to be a badass. And then they explain in that talk that she's had a few tours in Iraq, and
that she kills everybody. Yeah. In some very funny ways, like she, you know, runs out of bullets one time, and so she hits a guy in the back. You know, like, guy tries to run away. Mm. But yeah, like when
she
they get
takes
to,
an is this where she, doesn't she take an arrow and stab someone, or was that earlier? She,
I
takes,
mean, that's here, that because the girl is the like
yeah,
the,
she picks
the
up an arrow
Aberdeen
and is
character.
Like stabbing people with the arrow.
Yeah.
There's some cool stuff.
So this is where she's, you know, she's laid on the ground. And she's gonna kill the gal with the arrows. And she was like, do you have any questions, Don? And he was like, what? Why are you doing this? And she, of course, she gets a little mouthy and she was like, thank you. And she
oh, this
face.
Is where it comes up with the should women be treated equally to men? Because
I thought
Don's like, no, she's a woman. And then.
Yeah, right. Don. Yeah.
Betty Gilpin's like, do you think you should not be killed because you're female?
Do you think I should treat you differently because you're female? And she was like, no. And she was like, good answer. Blam!
And then Don still freaks out. Right. And at this point, you're just like, what is your... like, Don, why are you... these people are trying to kill us, and you're...
So I feel like the Don character is one of those guys that... I mean, we can only assess by his hat that he was in some sort of military maneuver because he's wearing like an airborne hat. But I feel like Don is one of those characters who talks a big game, but as soon as he's confronted with this in front of him, he's like, oh, no, thank you. I don't want any part of this.
I mean, do we ever know? It's a question.
They never
mark,
say.
Right?
They leave it vague as to whether or not he was part of which side he was on.
Because you never see him in flashbacks,
you never see him in the flashbacks.
And you notice in her house there's 11 photos, and there's 12 being hunted.
Right.
So they purposefully, which was at least clever, they left a 12th that could have been Dawn.
Right.
Because they pan over all the photos.
They never
tell
you.
3, 6, 9, 10, 11.
Dan's so fine.
So, well, yeah.
Yes.
So, anyway, because I was like, it's hard because I'm pretty sure they're leaving it open.
They are.
Did she trick you? Did she not?
She not trick
and
you.
I feel like Dawn was hunted, but he's just a scaredy cat. You know, like he doesn't want
to
kill people.
I don't think he was one because he had so many opportunities to kill her.
Yes.
Right.
Why would he have? Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So there's a radio there and we hear this voice and she's like, Dawn, is everything okay? And he's like,
Betty Gilpin's
like, what? She's like, put your gun down. She's, you know, they're going back and forth. There's a nice little standoff where you don't really know who's on whose side. And finally, Betty Gilpin's just like, F this, and just shoots him in the face and kills him. So she goes over to the military guy who she beat the bejesus out of. And I liked that it was interesting that she didn't kill him.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't know what she was going to do, right? Like, she's sitting down with him and she is talking to him. And it's like there's a level of respect there until he says he's in the National Guard. And then she's like, all right.
Well, also, I don't even think that necessarily did it, though, because he basically said he was taking a contract from the rich people to teach them how to hunt down and kill people. So regardless of his, you know, station or whatnot.
I think she would have killed him
either way.
Yeah.
But I think when she found out he was in the National Guard, she had no respect for him.
Yeah.
Right. She's
that was a funny moment.
That's not like the real military.
Yeah.
If, and I say that as because I'm not tough enough to be in either, but that to someone who's in one of the,
to a lay person,
to the full time military branches, they don't always have the most respect for the National Guard.
Correct.
And the same way that the Navy hates the Army and the Army hates the Navy.
I was expecting to be, again, I say this with all due respect to anybody that's served in the military, the Coast Guard.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have plenty of my aunt and uncle both served in the Coast Guard. I get it.
But you get the point they're making.
Yes.
They're saying
real. She sits down and she was like, where is she? And he's just like, look, man, she's been training for 8 months for this. And
I'm like, 8 months?
I thought that was kind of like the joke where she's just like.
But like, he said it dead serious. And if he's a military guy, like, he should.
That's because I think he's not very good.
But even, I mean, come on. Like, because he's fit.
Sure.
So he knows how long it takes to get fit.
Yeah.
And it.
But yeah, no, it's ridiculous. She's been training for 8 months.
8 months.
Yeah.
And I do like where she goes, where did you serve? And she's like, yeah. Did a couple tours in Afghanistan. He's like, makes sense. Makes sense. And then she asks and she shoots him in the face. Yeah. Like, and then she gets up.
And I'm like, thank you. It's like, no matter what, if he's military or not, it's like he trained all these people. He took their money to kill you guys. Like, he has to go.
Right. So she walks up to like Wayne Manor and there's a voice on the squawk box that says, put the gun in the, you know, there's landmines on you're standing on them right now.
I could blow you up, but
I'd rather do this one-on-one. Put your gun in the lockbox and come up to the house.
Now, is this when we get all the flashbacks explaining?
Is
before
this
their
is
showdown,
it. Yeah.
Right?
So basically, all of the everybody that we've seen that Betty Gilpin has killed already were part of this text thread and have lost everything. Like the embassy guy got demoted and sent to like Ecuador.
The
or
cancel
something.
Culture took them down.
Exactly. And we see all of these pictures on the walls of all of these characters, right? So we see the Alex
Jones. The irony,
Jones.
Though, is that, like, but the cancel culture is typically left-wing.
Right.
And so, like.
That's the thing, is, like if they would have stuck to what this guy wanted to do, okay.
But there's people that, even this movie got delayed by conservatives.
It's a thing. I mean, James Gunn got taken down by conservative cancel culture. But I'm just saying that I think more often than not, cancel culture is coming from the left, not the right.
But don't you think? I mean, I think this movie is not in this regard. I don't think they're making a statement on either side. I think they're saying cancel culture is ridiculous. Yeah. They're just saying.
I don't think it's this is a whole other thing, but I don't think it's ridiculous. I think when it's deserved.
And that's the thing. But everybody's definition of what's deserved is going to
be
different.
I guess that's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cancel culture, by definition, is meaning like everything just gets canceled. Sure, there's, of course, some things that are deserving.
Right.
Cancel culture is just. We're mad. You're canceled.
You're canceled.
Yep. It's like, what?
James Gunn's like, cool, I'll go work for Warner Brothers. Oh, and you're going to pay me back, Marvel? Okay, that's fine, too. We get all these pictures on the wall. So the Ike Burkholz character was one of the guys carrying the tiki torches. The Ethan Suplee character was the Alex Jones character. and they're just going through all these different people.
Emma Roberts was like meeting with some politician. I guess she was some kind of young Republican or something. Okay, I don't know who that was, but she was just with some old politician guy. And
okay. And then we get to Betty Gilpin, and she's like, this gal posted on some weird Reddit thread, like, F this B.
Oh, maybe the 12th photo was her then that was gone. I didn't see Donna.
Oh, like
there,
they didn't
though.
Have a picture of her?
Well, because if they had a picture of her, they would know she wasn't the right
That's
person.
That's what I mean. Like, but they did have a, no, picture,
had a picture
of her.
That was the guy giving her the finger.
That was the guy giving her the finger at the Hurts and O'Connor. So they did have a picture of her, so I don't
know. Oh, so they got the wrong person, but then they got the wrong person's picture. Okay. Yeah. So, okay, there, that's, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
So, she, and basically Hillary Swank is like, yup, she's in. And they were like, "What? She hasn't done it. Like, she's not even that big of a deal. She comes from some hick back town, backwater
town."
And
that's why they didn't hardly like fact check her. But Hillary Swank was so adamant,
right?
Just,
because
like, I've
she,
heard
because
enough.
She slighted her. Yeah.
But I also don't get, like, if there's if they rose to the level of controversy that they all got fired, and there's all these hateful things said about them on the internet, that what she read from this character wouldn't have even been in the 50th percentile for the venom she
that was the
received.
Only thing that I did. There was a lot of things that didn't make sense, but that was more like,
so like it was like it a was woman one, on woman is the
it was a one post thing about how she killed people.
Yeah, like, I mean, but there had to have been much more. I mean, we all know how vile the internet comment section
sure,
can get.
Sure,
like, and this was nothing compare sure,
right.
comparatively
to an Alex Jones or the
right,
you know, well, all of this
but,
other
but
stuff.
The whole premise falls apart in the fact that all these rich elites lost their jobs and had to cry into their $1 million bills.
Right.
And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll just hunt people. I mean,
right.
the whole
yeah, we'll
premise
do, we'll
is
do,
ridiculous.
We'll do the yeah, one thing you said that we were going to do.
Because yeah. that will teach you. Like,
right.
It's a stupid, like, the reveal yeah. part is stupid.
Right.
It's not as clever as they think.
It's
because
not.
Yeah.
Like I said, if they would have said, no, it's real.
Yeah,
like yeah, we're doing this. Like yeah. this is a real thing. Like you,
yeah,
you
it was.
And,
I see. Yeah, it was real. Yeah, yeah. And you got us, and now you get to be part of it. Like right. at least then they're leaning into it, but it's not. It's because they're trying to make this
right.
statement that
right, right, right.
You know.
So she shows up at the house, and basically Hillary Swank says, "You said this. Your mother's a, you know, your father's a never showed back up. Your father's a terrible. Your mother's a terrible person. All this other stuff." And Betty Gilpin just kind of starts laughing, and she's like, "What are you laughing at?" And she's like, there's another girl in my hometown who has the exact same name as I do, except she spells her last name with an E and I don't. And she's like,
I didn't want to stop your big speech, yeah, right. but.
And she was like, wait, what? And she's like, you got the wrong girl. And she's like, my mom's awesome. And my dad is, you know, my dad. He's like, I grew up fine. And then she's like, no, no, no. This is, you know,
and
kind of a
thing.
There's
still
where
that
she,
like ambiguity there. She's like,
is she
like,
lying?
Maybe.
Is she not
yeah.
lying? And then this is a knockdown, drag out fight
yeah.
between the two where they no weapon, like no firearms, but they're beating the bejesus out of each other. Probably one of the cooler kills in the movie, honestly, is where Hillary Swank has like a food processor blade and like stabs Betty Gilpin in the gut. And then Betty Gilpin, being the badass that she is, uses the same
pushes
blade
herself against,
and
yeah.
brings and like cuts, and that's how she kills Hillary Swank. So they're both kind of laying on the floor, and they look at each other, and she was like, "Okay." Hillary Swank's character says, "Athena is who, what her name is." She's basically she says, "You can tell me, like I got the right person.
We're both dead anyway,
right?" And she, well, does she talk about? She says, "Oh yeah, we're both dead anyway. I got the right person, didn't I?" And she was like,
"No, ma'am.
No, ma'am." And then she rattles off.
And then she talks about Animal Farm,
and she's like, "You've read that book."
Like that was another clever moment. Like, you read that?
And she's like, "Yeah." And I guess
Animal Farm is like 100 pages long. Like it's so short,
right?
Like, I mean, you can almost read it in one sitting. I mean, you probably could, depending on how long you want to sit there.
Not me,
but
that's like a week.
But it's also like. It's also assigned reading in a lot of schools.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was like a pretty much like mandatory in middle school for a long time.
Was
like
it really?
Yeah. It's not even like that difficult of a story to read. Like it's like 1984 can be a little, mm-hmm. little dense, but, and get a little dry, but Animal Farm is a pretty breezy story, all things considered. I mean, it's a dark story, but it's an easy read. I mean, I read it when I was like 13 or 14 years old. Like, it's not.
Right. So what was the statement they were trying
basically,
to make
basically
here?
Like, saying that she
couldn't fathom that
someone
like her
a conservative
not liberal
like her could, or, this from this backwater town could dare read a book like this.
Yeah.
So she dies. And the, again, I like this with Betty Gilpin where she gets up, she sees the jackrabbit, and she was like, okay. She stands up, takes the blowtorch, and like torches her, cauterizes the wound, goes into the, takes this. I mean, she, I thought she was cute before, but like, good Lord. Like, how you doing, Betty Gilpin?
Oh, she's in great shape. I mean, she's wearing like a belly shirt. She's all skinny.
Is, yeah,
then,
right.
Yeah.
And I mean, she walks out in this swanky, pun intended, dress, and she walks onto the this plane. And
she's got the 100-year-old bottle of champagne that Douche referenced talked earlier, about in the beginning. Yeah. Do you have the 1903 blah, blah, blah?
I do like what the gal's like. Nope.
Just regular old champagne.
So she gets,
well, it was also ridiculous. He's asking for like something that there's only like three bottles,
25
of.
Grand a
like,
bottle.
No, he was
something.
Just proving how elite and douchebag. Like, yeah. You know, I mean, he didn't expect her to have, but he wanted to be like, oh, well, you don't know about the blah, blah, blah. Trying to like.
Right.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
He was a scumbag. He did a really good job being
a scumbag. He's a scumbag on It's Always Sunny, too. It's just, yeah. So she kind of sits down and she's like, look, I killed your boss. Can we go home now? And they were just like, yeah, yeah, I'm cool with it. So the plane takes off and the stewardess is like, do you want anything? We have caviar and champagne. This is a throwback to the scene in the beginning of the movie where she's like, have you ever had caviar? And she's like, no. She's like, do you want to? And of course, like this is kind of like she's the hero. And we're just going to double down on her being the hero where she's showing the help, compassion, and not treating them
like
people.
She poured her a glass of that amazing champagne
and
let her drink it.
And that's
she's drinking out of the bottle.
I know. And that's kind of how it ends, is the plane takes off and that's it. I get it. I get that this is not for everybody, but I think I had a lot of I had more fun at it than I would have probably had a Bloodshot, I think, because I can't stand Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Betty Gilpin is the MVP of this movie. If you go to... at least watch this on VOD or something for her because she's funny. She's badass.
Well, based on the box office report,
we might.
You can go see it in the theaters without risking getting
that's true.
The Rona.
Yeah. You can just sit there by yourself. Yeah.
Oh, this movie could have been a lot of fun. I just think that the script did not help it. I wish they wouldn't have killed off everybody you recognize because I think maybe Ike Barinholtz and her running around.
Like,
could
I don't
really
have a problem
fun.
With them killing everybody off. Like it, I don't have.
They
a
just need to have. They just needed a better way to have done it.
Yeah.
The way they. I get what they were going for, but the way they.
But it was cheap.
It just.
I don't. Yeah. I don't have a problem with taking everybody. The stunt casting. I'm fine with it. You know. But yeah, it's. It has.
But like the movie's written by a conservative guy, and like they should have just let him make a conservative movie.
That's exactly
because
right.
At the end of the day, there aren't many.
No,
you know, I mean, in fairness, the conservatives aren't wrong.
And if
there aren't a lot of, and the,
you're absolutely right.
And the conservative movies that are out there,
I found this less offensive than Rambo.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I found this way less offensive than that.
I would,
but
agree.
I mean, but it's like, would I guess Hollywood wouldn't have done this movie if it was straight conservative? Like, you know, they signed up because it was supposed to be towing the line. I guess, like, you know, it's not. But
well, they would have made a better movie the other way.
Yeah.
Just because, like, them trying to like split hairs and have it both ways, and you could tell their heart wasn't in the because
there's no conviction
because there's like 80 liberal stereotypes that they make fun of, and there's like basically like two conservative ones, and it's so it's like it's just write the movie you want to write, like,
and
that,
do it. I don't have a problem with that.
That would have been a better movie.
Yeah,
I could have walked away saying that. I, you know, maybe I don't agree, but I enjoyed it. It was it was well done.
It's not good satire. Is the problem? It's trying to be, and it's not good. If it were good, if they made good points,
you know, can't write satire without offending someone.
Right. Yeah, and that's. I mean, we're in a culture now where nobody wants to be offended.
Yeah,
and you know when you can't make movies like Blazing Saddles or, you know, Mel Brooks movies, basically.
Yeah.
Right.
And you can't do that. And that doesn't mean that.
Do you think they ever will again?
I do.
Do you think there's a time where Mel Brooks type movies
will? I think this pendulum swings both ways.
Yes.
And right now it's going the other way.
And then at some point, somebody's going to make some really low budget movie that swings the pendulum back the other way. And it's going to explode because it will have been so long since we've seen something like that. And people will be. So I absolutely think.
I think that starts with stand up. Honestly, I think stand up
is very. I mean, they.
Well, I
do
think
not.
I think stand up is the catalyst that gets it to swing the other way.
Yeah.
So like once some of those comedians that walk that line start to break through.
Anthony Jeselnik, Brett Kreischer.
Brett Kreischer, not so much, but
no,
I don't.
Have
think
you not watched any of
I
his?
I listen to his podcast every week. Like I
have you not
him
watched
and Tom
his
Segura,
Netflix specials?
Oh no, I haven't.
I mean, go watch his 2018 Netflix special, and you tell me that's not.
I just think there are
the
there
stuff
are,
he says
Sam,
in there.
Sam
is
Daniel Tosh,
Sam Tripoli,
Eliza Schlesinger. And, she's pretty. She just kind of says whatever she wants.
Yeah,
right?
But I don't think she ever goes into those guys' territory.
Really?
Yeah. Andrew Schultz, I think is his. Andrew Schultz is the one that I feel like is going to blow. Like, that dude is hilarious.
Yeah.
And so, like, once stand up breaks that plane, and
I feel
it
like
becomes,
Liza's the one, if you're talking about female comedians, though, I feel like she says some stuff that's.
Do you think
men can do it?
Absolutely not. I just don't think
Sarah Silverman built a
Sarah career Silverman.
Yeah.
But I think you see more men doing that. But I also think you see more men doing comedy. That is shifting.
Yeah.
But I think that's just you see more of one gender just because more of one gender tends to dominate that at the moment.
I also think a female comedian has a different bag of arrows to make jokes about. Like, they just have different experiences,
sure,
you know? Like, so Eliza Schlesinger,
I think
Amy Schumer, Ali Wong.
You've seen comedy getting less jokey and more personal and story driven.
Yeah.
And I think that's because of things like Twitter, because if there are so many people, if you're just trying to write a joke, there are so many people that land on the same joke.
Right.
Right. Like,
right.
And sometimes that's plagiarism. More often than not, it's just kind of the collective zeitgeist and multiple people are landing on the same punchline, and when there's, you know, 30 million people all feeding into the same system, you're gonna see that more quickly. And I think because of that, with comedy, the direction that comedy's taken, it's like, well, if you make that story personal, you don't have to worry about getting accused of stealing that joke,
right?
Because
Carlos Mencia about stealing jokes.
Yeah, because
Dane Cook
sort of. Carlos Mencia got called out on stage by Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan jumped up on stage.
And he said, "That's my joke."
It was somebody else's joke.
But
he was like,
it?
You saw this guy who's standing next to Joe Rogan do that joke, and now you did the same joke.
Wow. And I like Joe Rogan, so I want to look,
if
up,
you
that
look
up.
If you look up Mencia, he jumps up on stage and calls
him
out.
Because I do not like
Carlos
Mencia. I think he's a terrible comedian.
That's because he was stealing people's jokes.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's not good. I don't like that kind of.
That's why you don't see him anymore.
Oh, okay,
like,
good.
Because
Joe Rogan
called him out. And
it
blew up. Like, it was nuts.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I like Joe Rogan. I think I mentioned this recently, but, like, dude, Joe Rogan's smart. You think he's just like this, like, macho MMA, you know, whatever. But, man, if you listen to him, he interviews everybody from all walks of life, scientists, astronauts, MMA fighters, comedians.
He runs with, it's him.
Video game designers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
He runs with Bert and Tom Segura and him and Ari, whatever his last name
is. But, like, give his podcast a chance. Like, Joe Rogan interviewing an astronaut is fascinating. Him interviewing an infectious disease doctor about coronavirus stuff. Like, he interviews everyone, and he is Stern level. Like, I always thought, you know, Stern is one of the best interviewers. And
I think Rogan's on his level.
Rogan's up there with Stern level interviews. So give him a shot he's not just MMA talk.
No,
sure.
But I do think that it'll swing back at some point.
Good.
I don't know when.
I mean, TV's doing it, though. You know, that's the funny thing is that Rick and Morty, South Park, obviously was one of the innovators of this. But, like, you know, TV is able to get away with stuff. It's almost like, I don't know if they were grandfathered
South Park's also kind of a relic of a different era.
Yeah.
Right. Like
it's kind of grandfathered in because it's always been doing that. I think if it was starting today, it would have a much harder
time. Look at shows like, okay, Rick and Morty, though. I mean, that's pretty offensive and does some crazy stuff.
I've never watched.
It's very funny.
What's that Big Mouth?
Big Mouth.
That tackles insane subjects.
Those group of guys
Nick Kroll,
John Mulaney.
And I haven't seen it, but I've heard good things.
Good.
But it tackles, like, edgy topics, but it normally lands on the more, like, PC, like.
But it still works because it's kids talking about sex and their periods and stuff. These are supposed to be, like, elementary school
kids. Yeah, but
it's
a cartoon and it's voiced by adults, so you know. I mean, so
I know,
you can laugh
topic.
At the kids talking about it because you know it's aren't really
it's,
kids
it's
talking about
it. It's no different
it.
Than laughing at Good Boys.
Well, no, I think it's very different because it's voiced by adults and it's drawings.
Yeah, that's
you
fair.
Know what I mean? So it's like, you can let them say even worse stuff because you know you're not really seeing children.
And you're looking,
you can
picture John Mulaney and
Nick
Kroll. Yeah.
Well, then that's South Park too. I guess any animation medium is a little bit different than the live action. But
I think I am in the minority again. in this god dang room.
Well, we like to be diverse. That's so true. We had to bring
minorities.
So.
Yeah, but there you go.
Awesome. Well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBracket.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the show, like the page, join the group. And then, of course, don't forget to check out our Patreon, Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. Coming up next week, not a damn thing.
Well, I have no idea.
I think, you know, we'll have to do, here's my suggestion.
Uh-oh.
We go into the archives and we do a COVID Rio recovery.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Let's do it.
COVID Rio?
A COVID, a COVIDio recovery.
Oh, COVIDio
recovery. Yeah. I'm in. Let's do it.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I'm in. I don't have a choice. Yeah. I'm
so now then the next question is, will we do it in real life or will we all do it over Skype?
That we'll have to depends. See what the government tells us.
That part remains to be seen. So we just wait and see. But I think we'll be able to figure out a way to have something for you next week.
Absolutely.
I have a feeling we're all going to have a lot of time on our hands.
We might.
So anyway, thanks for tuning in, and until next time, Mason jammed Burns' gun.
I like to do my peeps, cruising cream, playing three car money on these crazy streets. Straight hustler, I'm full of scam, and I'm in it. So low to the flow, pick the pocket, I'm a midget. Slick shyster, the best meister, living life in Miami's vice. Massey, nobody messing with the frogs, see? Where's your messiah now?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.